I've been sharing on the fear of God for, I think, 4 Sundays, and this will be the 5th, because I believe John gave me the permission to continue on this journey with the fear of God for the rest of the year, as I remember him saying when he preached. And I think it's a topic that you can keep on breaking open, probably until Jesus comes back. Now, who of you have grown in the fear of God of late? Whose hearts have been cleaned, have been washed? Who's been challenged? Who's been maybe pruned to a slight bit? Anybody growing in the fear of God? Amen. Anybody checking in more and more with the Lord than they used to before? Hallelujah. That's good. That's good. Here's the thing. Is why do we do a series? Why do we share many of these truths? And why do we dig deep into Scripture and repeat these things? It's because we're building a wineskin. It is so that we have an understanding for what the Holy Spirit is imparting to us as a church at the moment. Because I can say fear of God, and you can just go blank, or you can fear up, or you can become anxious, or you might have a good understanding, or nothing at all. And so we build upon this so that more and more we can build this wineskin. Why do we do Sundays? We ultimately, as a church, very simply want to connect with one another and God. We want to grow as disciples, that's Scripture. And then we want to love. We want to lay down our lives and love other people. And so when we build a wineskin around a theme and an understanding and build our theology, our understanding of God strongly around something, then the Spirit falls upon that. The water comes upon that. It grows at what? It produces?
Fruit.
Yay! Fruit, yes. Because Christianity needs to look like something. And that's the heart. So I don't repeat these things, as I've said before, just to make space of fill up space and fill up time, yeah, so that we can have an understanding. So why do we need to be here on Sunday? Because the whole body needs to minister to you like it's happened now. Because we need to worship together, wash ourselves clean. We need to intercede and stand in the gap. We need to fight for the next generation. Then we need to grow together. And that's why if you fill all of these blocks together, if you put these puzzle pieces together, I think there's a good understanding and a good basic foundation to be a people that is marked by the fear of God. That's mine. Lord, I pray that you'll mark this church with the spirit of the fear of the Lord. I pray, Father God, that you'll mark us to be a people that fear your name, Lord, that have a reverence and an awe for you, Father God. Mark us in this season forever. Mark every family and every person with the spirit of the fear of the Lord. Lord, help us to understand that that is because you're such a loving, good Father. And it's nothing to be afraid of in the bad sense of the word, but everything to be in awe of, because we have seen you, we behold you, and now we just want to do as you call us to do, Father. So we ask for that big grace, Lord, to mark us tonight again with a little time that we do have. Holy Spirit, lead us, make us be awake, help us to be awake and to receive what you give us in Jesus' name. Amen. So we said the fear of God is what? Ultimately, he's? By a donkey. By a donkey. So we say God, the fear of God is his?
Treasure.
Hallelujah. You're looking by excited. Who would be excited about winning the lotto? Who watched the rugby last night? That quick 2 tries in succession after half time? You don't sit like, no, we don't do that. The fear of God is his treasure. The word of God says it's his treasure. And if he says it's important and it's a treasure, it's something to be valued, guess what? Then we as followers and as children of God need to realize, hey, this is something we need to note. It is his treasure. We know the definition by now. Quickly going to recap a couple of things. You can go to the next slide. Whenever you've missed the Sunday, I'm going to keep on just adding to this so that we've got a nice, easy to go to definitions page. That can just break down more or less what we've been looking at so that we can have wineskins together and be a people of the fear of the Lord. And so it's to revere him, to be in awe of him, to see God. It is to have reverence. And we said reverence comes from revelation. And revelation only comes from relationship. So if you are stern, prudent, Pharisee-like, which none of us are, but if you are stuck in religion, guess what? You are not going to have the fear of God in your life. You're not going to have that awe. If there's no encounter in your Christianity, if you don't ever encounter Christ, encounter his spirit, encounter his life-giving spirit, then guess what? You're going to run out of awe. You're going to run out of that. And you're going to try your best to be a Christian, but you're going to really suffer. Unless you meet love again. Unless he comes down and touches your life again. Unless he speaks into your heart again and changes your life. We said what it's not. Go have a look. We said there's a couple of conditions for the fear of God. You can go and recap on that. Then we luckily said that Christ is into the fear of God. He had that. And the Holy Spirit carries the fear of the Lord. So the Spirit that lives inside of you will ultimately also help you to walk in the fear of the Lord. If you struggle with that, you can say, Lord, help me. I see there's certain conditions. I see Psalm 34. You say, I will teach you. So Lord, teach me. And then you say, Holy Spirit, you are in. So we actually have no excuse for not being a people to have a great understanding, revelation, and to walk and live the fear of God. Amen? So then we quickly look twice at the fear of man. Who's been confronted and noticed the fear of man in their life of late after that? Anybody? Nice and high. We don't fear man. Great. That's good. That's good, because once you notice it, like I had to see it in my life, you can immediately do what? You can repent and turn. Grace can come. And you can be not steered by the opinions of people, which is ultimately an antichrist way of doing things. Now, go and look at fear of man again. The last time I preached on this, I very simply said the following through stories in the Word, that the antichrist spirit, the devil, attacks what? He's not interested in you. He's really not that interested in you and me. Ultimately, the devil wants to attack Christ and his work in your life. The calling upon your life, the calling upon this church, ultimately the antichrist spirit will come and attack the work of Christ in our lives and callings. Because ultimately that is where the battle lies. And then he does not come and just confront you head on. He comes and uses the opinion of people, the social medias of the day, the scared crowd that might come with pitchforks and torches. Those type of scenarios that the enemy creates, and sometimes just brings us a deception. What will people say? What will people say? What will people say? He just comes with that to ultimately have us powered down so that we cannot boldly stand up for Jesus, boldly stand up and follow the Lord. You know, dear me about now, so his heart was this one song. He took his guitar all the way to Europe. That's a mission, because there's this one song in his heart. And Emilius is this one busy station and plane where there's lots of people 24/7. And that is where he wanted to sing that one song aloud. And I'm like, Jesus, help us. So we started off in the park, just the two of me. And there's the mom with the kid, like, hi, Lord. And then later he's like, this is not it. I need to go to the plane. And there he went to go sing his heart out. We later only realized that you can be arrested for sharing the gospel and sharing your faith in Luxembourg. But now we know we weren't arrested. Wasn't as lucky as Paul. But that's a good space where, what about the people? What do they think? Where you can die down to all of that. And then lastly, we said the previous time, deathbed resolutions are often said to be people that say, I wish I had lived what was actually on my heart. Are you living what is actually on your heart? Are you living what is actually on your heart? Are you living that life that you were called to live? Or are you worried about what the people, in-laws, family, tradition, or whatever may say? And so that's a good test. So you can go to the next slide. Today we're going to share a couple of scriptures that you already know. But we want to take hold. I said the fear of God will be ours and its benefits and its promises if we take hold of this. If it's not just, oh yes, you remember we did that a couple of Sundays ago and then we just go on with life. No, if we take hold of the scripture, as Peter said, if we spend time with him and say, Lord, come and teach me this, man, there will be no stopping you. No antichrist lies will stop you and the calling that is upon your life. Does that excite you? Does that scare you in a good way? Hopefully it does. Because this is the place where we need to encourage each other. So the fear of God's got a couple of benefits. Maybe the next 2 weeks we'll look at those. Promises and benefits. Now what is the biggest benefit that you've read in Scripture that comes from the fear of God? What is the biggest benefit of promise? What do you see? Friendship with God? Who said that? Erica? Why is it nice of work? Yes! Wisdom! Wisdom is found in people walking in the fear of God. Who of you have walked in wisdom before. Once, twice. Me? So what about this elbow here? Like, it was only once. Now, but here's the thing, all jokes aside, I really desperately want to be wise. Do you want to be wise? Have you met a really wise person? Use the old beard like Albert, a bit more grey in the beard than Albert. Well done, Albert. Or would they say, well done, Dominique? But here's the thing, we would all love to have somebody that's really wise in our lives. Have you met somebody that's really wise? Anybody? That's really helped you in a situation. And I would love to be wise as well. So just a bit of background maybe on my life, just in brief. My mom and dad, my house was a broken home. And so many things went wrong in my upbringing. And I don't judge, I don't point the finger. I'm thankful for the parents that the Lord gave me. I'm thankful for the life lessons I've learned. But from a very young age, I really realized that I don't think they kind of got it all figured out. And it wasn't in a rebellious way, it was just like, man, this cannot be life. The way in which things broke and fell apart in my upbringing, I just realized this cannot be the totality of God's heart for one. And so from a young age, I just really wanted to figure out life. Who's ever been in a season where you're just like, some of this does not make sense. I would like to just figure out life. Anybody like that? Anybody would like to figure out life? I think God is a good stop. And so I remember even in studying law, I had this romantic picture of all of us that went to go study something or pursued a career. You probably had a bit of a, even ministry. You have this romantic idea of what it shall be. So have you ever had this African village with the opa, with the grandfather that sits under the tree just outside of the dorpie? He's just sitting there smoking his pipe. I'm not condoning smoking pipe, but that is my picture. And then when somebody needed wisdom, they would run to him and go sit at his feet and say, please help me with this ordeal. And since studying law, I was thinking, man, I don't want to make a lot of money. I just want to have some wisdom. I just want to understand stuff so that I can help people. I obviously kind of misguided the fact that the Lord was calling me into ministry and being a pastor. But I just thought that if you can just be like that old woman that just sits there under the tree and has this infinite wisdom to people, you can really help their lives. Later on, I realized that in church life, we really need elders, like old men, a slight bit older than myself and Pietro, that have lived life, have walked in the fear of God, and are really wise. Because I think many people, many couples, many individuals would love to go sit in their shade. Do you have somebody in whose wisdom and shade you can sit? Anybody? Do you have somebody? Some of us might have. But we unfortunately, and I believe this is where the enemy is, I'm maybe going off track now, but I think it's necessary. This is where the body has been hurt. That is where generations has been hurt. Because we often need to go sit in the shade of our peers. Because I don't know where the elders are. I'm talking about 80 plus, 70, 80, I need to be careful now. 70, 80 year olds plus. But where are they? We are there in the body of Christ, and we are there in the church, and we are there in our lives, and we can sit in this shade and have real wisdom. But luckily, it's not only with them that we're going to get it. It is from the Lord that we can ultimately get that, because He, as we heard earlier, can bless us with whatever we need in the wisdom we lack. Let's quickly move on, because here's the thing. Like you need to yearn for the fear of God, you need to also really be able to yearn for, long for, and seek wisdom. How desperate are you for the next paycheck? Anybody willing to say? How desperate? Yes. Hussein! Albert grabbed himself. Scrape him, mate. How desperate are you for your next paycheck? I don't know what your hobby is, but how desperate are you to jump into that again? I don't know what escapisms you have in your life, but how desperate are you just to tag into that escapism at this moment in you? You're actually different. But here's the thing, we pay high prices for the things we value, and actually we lay down lots of things. But here's the thing, how desperate are you for the fear of God and His wisdom? Well, am I able tonight to just say, we hit the pause button, everybody be quiet, let's go on. How desperate am I for the fear of God? Boom! I don't care what people think, but I sense the Spirit saying, let's wait. Let's wait like Wolfman had to wait for 2 weeks, let's wait. Bless you. How desperate are we for that grace of Christ through His Spirit to come and mark us with the fear of God? What else would we be willing to ask for if not wisdom and the fear of God? 1 Kings 3, we're going to jump into the story again. At Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon during the night in a dream, and God said, ask for whatever you want me to give you. Now let me quickly rephrase what I asked earlier. If God should pitch up, and we're not going to play a whole genie thing here, because this is ultimately also God, but one can easily think of Aladdin when you look at this type of question. But if God pitches up and asks you, what do you want me to give you? What would your answer be? Excellent, I'll say, you're going to go vintage. This was, as children, you like, if you get 3 wishes, you ask for more. Boom! Act. System act. No, but what if God says, if I can give you anything, what would that be? What would it be? A house in Melbourne, yeah. That sounds like a wise wish. But that's honest. It's expensive, but it's honest. What would you tell God if He really asks you, what would you like to give me to give to you? That's a tough question. Well, we can be very, very, very spiritual about it, but honestly, what would we say? Here's what Solomon answered. Solomon answered, you have shown me great kindness to your servant, my father David, because he was faithful to you and righteous and upright in heart. You have continued this great kindness to him and have given him a son, that was Solomon, to sit on his throne this very day. Then he goes on to say, now, Lord my God, you have made your servant king in place of my father David, but I'm only a little child. He's obviously young. He wasn't a little child, but he was young. And do not know how to carry out my duties. Your servant is here among the people you have chosen, a great people, too numerous to count or to number. So give your servant this discerning heart to govern your people and to distinguish, to discern between right and wrong. I want to understand stuff. And I want to make good calls. I want to understand you in a wise heart, able to discern. For who is able to govern this great people of yours? How beautiful. Solomon does not look for something that he can gain firstly, but what he can gain for the people. And he knows that he is totally out of his depth. And guess what? In life, all of us are totally out of depth. I don't care how cool you think you are, or us all included, but we are out of depth without the grace of God. And like Solomon, I believe God maybe tugs on our hearts often and says, what do you want me to give you? The Lord was pleased that Solomon had asked for this. So God said to him, since you have asked for this and not for a long life or wealth for yourself, nor have asked for the death of your enemies, but this for discernment in administering justice, I will do what you have asked. So God says, boom, there you go. But here's the good father heart of God. Over and above. I will give you a wise and discerning, there you see the wisdom, wise and discerning heart, so that there will never be anyone like you, nor will there ever be. Moreover, I will give you what you have not asked for. It's like an infomercial, very well. But wait, there's more. Both wealth and honor. You see, there you go, boom. So that in your lifetime you will have no equal among kings. And if you walk in obedience to me and keep my decrees, that's the fear of God, and my commands, as David, your father did, I will give you a long life. Then Solomon awoke and realized it would be a dream. How beautiful is that? His heart gets tested. He says, Lord, give me an understanding heart. I want to discern between right and wrong. I want wisdom in the fear of God. That's my own words, but you can probably see that. And then he says, God loves it. He says, yes, I'll give you wisdom. I'll give you an understanding heart, but over and above that, because you've asked for that, I'll give you the other menial things as well. I'll give you a long life, I'll give you honor, and I'll give you wealth and riches. I'm like, what a great key is that to the heart of God. I believe that is like losing your life, because your flesh would love these things, but you're like, no, what is wise and what is beneficial, what is agape love to the people and to the ways and kingdom of God is to choose wisdom. And he says, no, I choose wisdom. God says, I give you this wisdom. And because you are wise in your choice, even, I'll give you what you need and even more. Does that sound like a good deal? Does that sound like a bit of a benefit? I believe so. I believe so. I said, dear, wisdom is to know where to look, where to go, and who to ask first. I thought that was good. Wisdom is to know where to look, where to go, and where to ask first. You can either Google, or you can think in your own estimation, in your own wisdom, and you can make your own decisions, or you can constantly turn to the Lord and say, God, help. God, give wisdom. I turn to you. Give me an understanding heart. In the fear of the Lord, I want wisdom. Did you know how many choices run through the human head in a single day? Anybody? How many decisions, how many choices do we make every day? Anybody? Anybody? Who feel it then? Up for it, yeah, a bit more. 200,000. 200,000. Yeah, man, this is a big lot. Okay. Now that Demi screwed up the example, no, this is 35,000 decisions run through our minds every day. But there's in us, like, this is why I'm so tired. But there's 35,000 little things that run through your head where you need to make certain choices. They do say, however, that the bigger things that you decide are like what to eat, where to go, to do your work, etc., can be narrowed down to 122 a day. That's still a lot. If you times that by 50, and you times that 50 by 12, and you go on in your life, there's many decisions that we need to make. And the question begins, are they wise? And how wise are they? If we say it is the bigger question, a bigger decision of 122, and you make a couple of ill-advised and erroneous decisions of the flesh and of demonic and cultural influence in those moments, it can change the trajectory of your life. Not only yours, but other people. And hence, that's why we should not fear people, and we should not fear the things of the enemy, but we should fear the Lord, because it is so important. Let's jump into scripture, and this is the, I believe, the cornerstone for today, and the one thing we need to take up. This is our verse that we need to put to memory, and I believe that you know already. Psalm 111:10 says the following, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. All who allow his instructions have good insight." The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. All who follow his instructions have good insight. His praise endures forever. So earlier I asked, who wants to be wise? Everybody put up their hands. You know where to start? Very simple with the fear of the Lord. To put God in his right place in your heart and mind and life. To have an awe and reverence for him. Not a religious, dead type of way, but saying, acknowledging, Lord, I do not fear you. I do not fear you in making my decisions, Lord. I do not consult and I do not check in with you. I struggle, Lord, help me. And then as he allows you to see him again through Jesus Christ, as he teaches you the fear of the Lord, as you spend time and time in his presence, then all the more you will see wise decisions and wisdom are being rebuilt into your life and into your walk with the Lord. I'm not saying this should be a once-off, but at least that's where we acknowledge and where we start. We need God in the right place in our life, and then we would ultimately be wise. The Amplified says the following, you can go to the next one, thanks. The reverent fear of the Lord is the beginning, the prerequisite, the absolute essential, the alphabet of wisdom. A good understanding and a teachable heart are possessed by all those who do the will of the Lord. See, there's two things here, the beginning of wisdom, the fear of the Lord, but you also need a teachable heart. Man, oh man, oh man. How teachable are our hearts? How teachable are our hearts to the Word and to Scripture penetrating it? How teachable are our hearts to those that disciple us and walk the road with us? How teachable are our hearts towards our spouses and our friends saying, hey, be careful, I love you, but I believe Scripture says, or hey, be careful because I believe the Spirit is highlighting something. How open are we for that? For otherwise we'll be blinded towards wisdom.
Proverbs 1:7 says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. If you have given somebody advice and they've acted like a fool, anybody like that? Yes. Who likes to give advice? Who knows that it's not always God who needs to be careful? Okay, great. Just so we can have some balance. And you see there, there's a word knowledge there. Now, quick question, is wisdom knowledge, or is knowledge wisdom? Anybody? What's the difference? Rob, what's the difference between knowledge and wisdom?
Wisdom is more forward, I think, sort of looking at knowledge as something more in the heart.
Yeah, I think. Yes, wisdom is applied knowledge. So you can be very knowledgeable with something but not wise. Do you know that I can have less knowledge on a subject but be more wise? Because of the fear of the Lord, because of His grace. So you can have a boffin with finance that really knows everything. They're very knowledgeable on finance. But because they do not fear God, because they do not know Scripture, they are really unwise financially. Am I making sense? Otherwise we'll do that in another day, in another sermon. But it's important to know what wisdom is. A very simple definition for wisdom is the following. The quality of having experience, knowledge, as Ralph said, and good judgment, the quality of being wise. So it is using your knowledge to better and to see the fruit of the Lord in the kingdom ultimately through the choice. The fact of being based on a sensible and wise thinking, that is the definition of wisdom. I said that the true wisdom is knowledge supernaturally applied right. True wisdom is knowledge supernaturally by the grace of God applied right. Who's ever made a financial decision because God has led you, not because it was only merely knowledgeable and it had a brilliant outcome? Okay, three of us. I think we need to work on our theology around finance and the fear of God thing. I'm not saying throw up all the knowledge that we do have, but we need to become children again, as we heard earlier. We need to trust the Holy Spirit again and see how Scripture comes and is greater. It's a greater truth than the knowledge of the things of this world. Otherwise, what? We will just live like the world. Don't have time for all of that. But Charles Spurgeon puts it this way, and it's pretty good. Wisdom is the right use of knowledge. Wisdom is the right use of knowledge. So you've got all the facts, and you use it right, and the outcome is good. To know is not to be wise. I'm going to say this again. To know something is not necessarily to be wise. Many men know a great deal and are all the greater fools for it. Do you know that knowledge puffs up? And pride blinds you to what? The fear of God. And ultimately, if you don't have the fear of God because you're blinded by your pride, guess what? You are not wise. So mere knowledge without the Spirit means squatter mundo next to you. Next, I want you to remember this. The Pharisees knew everything of the Torah. They knew everything. Verbatim, they could quote Scripture. They could not see Jesus. As modern Christians, we need to be careful not to get puffed up with knowledge of the tree of good and evil, but we don't acknowledge and don't discern the tree of life anymore. Let's become children. Let's humble ourselves. Let's become weak so that He can be strong and He can be wise. I hope you hear my heart. Many men know a great deal and are all too great a fools for it. There is no fool so great as a fool as a knowing fool. Anybody catch that? Right. But to know how to use knowledge is to have wisdom. I think that quote alone can be three sermons in a row, but that is so brilliant. Now quickly, from that scripture, we're going to try to land this even though we're halfway. How do we walk in this wisdom? We know now the revelation from Scripture. We need the fear of the Lord. We know what the fear of the Lord is. And if we don't know yet, we're going to listen to all the other sermons that we've done. And we're going to read up and dig into Scripture. But how do we carry this wisdom to hear people that are wise? Two things. We know how to start. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. So we need that awe, we need that revelation, we need that reverence from relationship, we need time and time and time with Him. Because I said here, the more I encounter, the more wise I become. The more I encounter the Lord in His Spirit, the more wise I become. Please do not hear me saying I'm knocking, whatever you're doing, whatever industry you're working in, that you need to be knowledgeable and excellent in that. Be knowledgeable and excellent in that. But have a foundation of the fear of God. So I would, before I send out a draft, I would send out a big draft, a drafted document of say 100 pages. And before I would send it to my client, I would pray. I would literally put my hand upon my screen, I would pray. I would say, Lord, come. What is your heart? And I don't have peace. I just don't have peace. I'm like, Lord, what's that? I don't have peace. He said, I've been through this document. I've worked hard at it. It's been double checked by Russell, my partner. And so I would pray. And then the Lord would drop claws and eye in my heart. Okay? And then childlike, in humility, I would go back and I would read over claws and eye a couple of times. And I would realize, yes, there's something I can do. Because His knowledge is infinite. He is a good. His knowledge does not puff up. His knowledge comes in humility and it brings beautiful life and it protects us and keeps us safe. And I would fix that and immediately as I would draft the or attach the thing again, I would have peace and I would say, many times the Lord just helped me, engage me in my profession. So I'm not saying drop out, don't study, don't be excellent. I'm just saying have it in order. Because we need the fear of the Lord for wisdom. And then the second part of that Psalm 111:10 says, all who follow His instructions have good insight. All who follow His instructions have good insight. Just quickly, where do I get His instructions? Where do I get God's instructions? His Word. Petri told us already. His Word. You cannot have the fear of the Lord and wisdom if you're not in the Word. The verse of the day would unfortunately not cut it. We cannot be wise and living in the fear of God, walking out our calling, just eating the morsels of the verse of the day, or maybe something somebody flighted on Facebook and you like it and think it changes your life. No, we need time with Him. We need time with Him. We need time in His Word. What else? It's His Word, then it's His Spirit that helps us with His instruction. What is the Holy Spirit leading you to do? And the third thing is His people. Do you have people that are wise around you? Do you have people that can speak the oracles and commands of God into your life? Do you have people in your life? I'm not going to jump into all of the scriptures that I have, we don't have time, but you know now, if you want to walk in the fear of the Lord, what is important is the Word of God, it is the Spirit of God, it is the people of God. Please go look at those scriptures at a later stage when you have time, because I want to just end off with the truth of this wisdom confirmed again in Proverbs. Proverbs 3 verse 5 speaks of the fear of the Lord. You can go right to the end. Proverbs 3, thank you so much. Proverbs 3 verse 5, you know by now that it says the following. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. Look to your neighbor quickly just to check if they're awake and say, lean not on your own understanding. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. All your heart is a pretty big deal. All your heart is a pretty big deal. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him. I've said this before, but I'm going to say it again because I love this. In all your ways. Not in the big thing. Not in the should I buy the house, should I buy the car, should I take the job. Not in those big things, but in all your ways, like a little child, like Mila would in all her ways know and acknowledge your mother. So we are children of God, called to the fear of God, to acknowledge Him in all our ways. Not to be robots, not to be micromanaged, but to know where life is, to know where safety is, to know where that place of humility and fruit is, and that is in His heart and in His will, that place of wisdom. And He shall direct your paths. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. It will be health to your flesh and strength to your bones. Another benefit. You want to be healthy? Fear God. You want to be healthy? Acknowledge Him in all your ways. Don't be too smart, aleck about it.
Acknowledge him in all your ways, and he will give strength to your bones. James 1:5 says, if any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and he will be given to you. Will you stand with me, please? Because that's exactly what we're quickly going to do as we land this with the little time that we did have. Three things that you need to remember along with the memory verse. The memory verse we know is the fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. Even that one phrase, just remember that, that in moments that you need to be wise, in days that you wake up and say, I want to walk a wise road with the Lord, if you need to be wise for your children, for the next generation, for those that you take care of, those that you lead and love in church, remember that it starts with the fear of the Lord. The three things that we need to do, we need to seek Him, fear the Lord. We need to sacrifice for Him. Are you willing to sacrifice for wisdom and the fear of the Lord? I know you are here, so you are sacrificing, praise the Lord. C.S. Lewis said, no great wisdom can be reached without sacrifice. No great wisdom can be reached without sacrifice. Are you willing to sacrifice to be wise? And then the last thing, surround yourself with God, with the God-fearing. The next best thing to being wise oneself is to live in the circle of those who are. How wise are your friends? I want to ask you, how wise are your friends? Are you partnering with those that walk in the fear of the Lord and are wise? Because that's the place where you will find wisdom. I've been friends with Hein Hofstra for what's now 18 years, 18 plus years. And I can truly say he's a man that fears God. He's not perfect, and he's got many mistakes, less than I have, but as much as I do as well. But here's one thing, he fears God, he fears the Lord's voice in his word. And he's a man of prayer. And I can truly say he's a good friend. Because I know that he will not give me, mostly, unless it comes to bribe, but that's a sermon for another day. He will mostly give me not his own opinion, but the heart of God. That is a wise friend. I need to sacrifice to spend time with him. And here's a nice trick that David taught me just in doing life. The moment that he sees something that he values, the fear of the Lord on something, he knows God's life is on this, he creates a rhythm around it. Sounds weird. So we became friends with him, we share lots in ministry, we share lots in prayer. And so him and his wife said, we want to see you once a month on a Wednesday morning for so many hours for prayer and fellowship and communion together. Are you willing? So in other words, they penciled it in. I said it to the small group the other night. If you honestly want to grow in wisdom in Christ, then you make a priority of small group in church. Because the word says that. And that's where you're going to spend time with people that are wise. That's where we're going to grow, and that's where we're going to learn. And so, just putting that nugget of wisdom there. What rhythms are you creating in your life to be a person of wisdom? What friendships are you pursuing and looking after to be a person of the fear of the Lord and wisdom? Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for practical Christianity, practical life. We pray more than anything that we will be a fruitful people that live in your fullness, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We do not come like religion comes from the outside in, but we ask, Lord, that this will be a making of the inside out, where the reverence, the awe, the adoration, the fear of God starts in the heart, the washed, clean heart, the purified heart, the encountered heart, the new birthed heart, that it starts there and flows from there into wise decisions, wise words, wise relationships, wise fruit, wise building, and wise love towards others. Help us, Lord, in Jesus' name. If that is your heart, just raise your hand if we could just land it there with the Lord. Thank you, Father God, for this commitment. Thank you that you see our hands, and we know that we are weak without you. We are truly unwise without you. But we want to fear your name, your loving, beautiful, perfect name. We want to fear you, and we say, Lord, have your way so that we will be a people of the fear of God that are wise, Lord, so that others can be blessed. As Solomon asked, in Jesus' name. All God's people said, Amen.